You're listening to NBC Sports Radio, and this is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio, where every day is game day.
Let's go get it.
Oh, three, one, two, three.
Now, here's your host, Mike Florio.
It's Monday. It's March 2nd. It's PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. It's Tag Day. Anytime I hear Tag Day, I think when I was a little kid and you played Little League Baseball and you had to go stand with a bucket of Maxwell House coffee, empty, and have people stick money in it, and you gave them a tag to indicate that they gave to the local Little League. Do they still do Tag Day? I never leave the house, so I don't know if there are kids in their baseball uniforms standing outside the local Quickie Mart for 3 hours at a time. God, that was insufferable. When you're 9, 10 years old, standing out there for 3 hours, feels like you're out there for 3 months. Already feels like I've been babbling for 3 months, and we just got the show started. Let me tell you what we have coming up here on today's PFT Live. We'll talk throughout the course of this three-hour tour, in no particular order, to Todd Herrmanns, free agent, offensive lineman, made it clear over the weekend he has no plans to retire. He's available to be signed by anyone. Head start on the open market. We'll get an update from Mike Kliss of the Denver Post in roughly a half hour about what the Broncos are doing with the franchise tag they're using on Demaryius Thomas, what that means for Peyton Manning, what that means for Julius Thomas, and whatever else comes up during the conversation. Tom Curran of CSN New England. Patriots have some decisions to make. Franchise tag on safety Devin McCourty or kicker Steven Gostkowski. Gostkowski. A lot of people say the Gostkowski, but I think the T is silent. Gostkowski. Qadri Ismail, who works for the Ravens Radio Network, because it's to-do list day, Ravens, Panthers. Darren Gann of PFT will join us to talk Panthers. A lot to get to throughout the course of the upcoming 3 hours. And one thing that kind of fell into the chasm, because on Sundays people aren't really paying attention to the news around the sports world because, you know, you're only paying close attention when you're at work. You're only surfing the internet for personal reasons when you're on non-personal time. But Marshawn Lynch was in Turkey. Yes, Turkey. We finally figured out how to get Marshawn Lynch to talk. You fly him to Turkey. You fly him to Turkey and he's talking a blue streak. You keep him in the United States and he isn't saying a word. You take him to Turkey and he talks and talks and talks and talks. And he said plenty about that fateful call that ended the Seahawks' last possession in Super Bowl 49, just 29 days ago. And, you know, I've seen some of the accounts of what he said, and I don't know that everybody is reading between the lines the way they should on this. You don't even have to go all that far between the lines to see what Marshawn Lynch is saying. He says, when you look at me and you let me run that ball in, I'm the face of the nation. You know, the MVP of the Super Bowl, that's pretty much the face of the nation at that point in time. I don't know what went into that call. Maybe it was a good thing that I didn't get the ball. I mean, you know, it cost us the Super Bowl. There's a theory out there, and some have reported on it. Ben Obamanu, former Seahawks receiver, has spoken on it. The idea that people on the Seahawks roster believe that the Seahawks chose to give the ball to quarterback Russell Wilson with the Super Bowl riding on that play and not Marshawn Lynch, because there's a preference that Russell Wilson would be the MVP and not Marshawn Lynch. Now, the biggest fundamental flaw in that decision is the ball was given to Marshawn Lynch the play before, and he almost scored. But if that plan was hatched in that 40 seconds or so between the end of the play where Lynch almost became the face of the nation and the next play where Tom Brady slash Malcolm Butler became the face of the nation, doesn't matter whether it's true. It matters whether people believe it. It matters whether people in the locker room believe it. It matters whether Marshawn Lynch, who has still yet to accept that deal that some say he's inevitably going to accept, believes it. If he believes it, if other members of the Seahawks believe it, good luck getting the players to turn the page. Good luck getting the players to put this behind them. Good luck getting everybody to sign on to everything that Pete Carroll, who may or may not subscribe to some fairly outlandish conspiracy theories himself, Google Pete Carroll and 9/11 truther. I don't know whether or not he believes that or not. But the bottom line is, conspiracy theories are only as valid as the people who give faith and belief in them. So the Seahawks may not have given any thought whatsoever to who would get that ball, who would be showcased, who would be in line to be the face of the nation. But if Marshawn Lynch believes a decision was made that he was not going to be the face of the nation, Seahawks have a problem. Seahawks, if that's true, if he believes that, they're better off with Lynch not coming back. They're better off making a play for DeMarco Murray. They're better off making a play for Adrian Peterson. They're better off drafting a running back 31st overall, because you're going to have divisiveness in that locker room, inevitably, if Lynch believes that. And when you look at what he said yesterday, he came pretty darn close to saying he believes it. The Lions finally believe what they should have believed all along, which is that the franchise tag does not work for defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh. I made the case last week on this program, PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio, in case you stumbled across us and you don't know who the heck this is or what this is about. It's about football. And the Lions are about trying to get to the next level. You don't get to the next level by devoting $26.9 million to one player for one more year and putting yourself in position to have to give him a 20% raise to keep him for a second year. If you use the franchise tag on Ndamukong Suh, $26.9 million for the first year becomes the starting point for a long-term deal. Far better, if the Lions want to keep Ndamukong Suh over the long haul, to go out and sign him to a market deal. And that's what this means. The Lions, by saying today that they're not going to apply the franchise tag to Ndamukong Suh, mean that the only way they're going to keep him around is if they outbid everybody else, or at least bid as much as the next highest bidder. And maybe that's what will happen. Maybe in this three-day legal tampering period that starts on Saturday, Ndamukong Suh will get the blockbuster offer from the Jaguars, the Raiders, or someone else, and his agent Jimmy Sexton will take it back to the Lions and say, if you match it, he'll stay. And the Lions will have to decide whether or not they're going to match it. Now, Suh isn't required to give the Lions that courtesy. And Suh has said his agent will pick his next team. His agent's not required to give the Lions that courtesy. But it would seem to make sense that the Lions would want, and Suh would at least give them an opportunity to match whatever the best offer is somewhere else. Unless whoever makes that best offer makes it clear to Jimmy Sexton, we're only going to make this offer if you give us your word you're not going to run back to the Lions and say you can match or beat this offer. We're making this offer with the understanding that you're going to either accept it or you're going to reject it, but you're not going to shop it to the Detroit Lions. So, Ndamukong Suh will hit the market next Tuesday. He will presumably go to the highest bidder, and if the Lions want to keep him, they'll have to be the highest bidder. Justin Houston will not hit the market. The Chiefs have used the franchise tag, non-exclusive version, which means that other teams can try to sign Justin Houston to an offer sheet. The Chiefs have 5 days to match. If they don't match, the Chiefs would get 2 first-round picks. And most people would say, well, no one's ever going to give up 2 first-round picks. Last year, the Bills gave up 2 first-round picks and a 4th-round pick to get Sammy Watkins. That's what was invested to get the player. People say, oh, they only gave up 1 first-round pick because they moved up from 9 to 4. No, they invested the 9th overall pick, a 1st-round pick this year, and a 4th-round pick this year to get Sammy Watkins. Unproven talent. Roll of the dice whether or not he's going to be any good. And you could argue they'd have been better off staying put and taking Odell Beckham Jr. They'd still have their 1st-round pick and 4th-round pick this year. But desperation causes teams to do those things. General managers who think, you know what, if we're no good this year, I'm not going to be around to use those picks next year, tend to be more inclined to do it. That's what we have to watch here. A team with a coach or a GM who is sufficiently desperate to get an impact player and has the cap and the cash base to do it and not worried about giving up the 2 first-round draft picks to get Justin Houston, because we may not be here anyway. You can look at it 2 different ways. You can look at it as using your 1st-round pick this year to get Justin Houston and giving up another 1st-round pick to do it. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and use my 1st-round pick this year. And then after the draft, I'll sign Justin Houston to an offer sheet. And if the Chiefs don't match it, I'll give them 2016 and 2017 1st-round pick. Little known fact about the franchise tag. You can continue to sign a guy to an offer sheet after this year's draft. So if you really are on the hot seat, and you really are facing win now or else, who cares about the 2016 and 2017 1st-round picks? You may not be there to use them. So you bring in a guy who has 22 sacks. How many guys with 20-plus sacks have ever been in position where they can be plucked off the market? And remember, it was now 7 years ago that the Minnesota Vikings traded for Jared Allen, who was then with the Chiefs, 1st-round pick and a 3rd-round pick, given up for a guy who was franchise tagged. What the Vikings could have done and what I remember reporting at the time the Vikings were thinking about doing, waiting until after the 2008 draft and signing Jared Allen to an offer sheet and giving up 2009 and 2010 first-round picks. They thought about doing that. So if a team out there truly desperate, if a team out there truly interested in getting better quickly, team out there willing to give up a couple of first-round picks, crapshoot picks, for a guy who has proven that he can get it done. He's averaged 1.22 sacks per game the last 2 years. Maybe Justin Houston is going to be the guy. Maybe someone is going to sign him to an offer sheet. That's one of the issues that's going to unfold over the coming weeks and maybe months. And I'm told Justin Houston already thinking about not reporting to the Chiefs until week 10 of the regular season. And all the way up until that point, someone could sign him to an offer sheet. And as long as you're willing to give up two future first-round draft picks, you could get Justin Houston if the Chiefs decide not to keep him around. And by the way, Ndamukong Suh, what he gets on the open market, that's going to drive up Justin Houston's expectations. So if the Chiefs ever want to sign with a long-term contract, the time to do it is now before Suh gets his deal, because that's going to create the bar that Houston will then try to match or beat. And you could make the argument that maybe he should even be more paid, more compensated, make more money overall than Ndamukong Suh. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. Ravens and Panthers to-do lists up next.
Twitter, we're all over it. Hit us up at NBC Sports Radio. And follow your favorite names for up-to-the-minute information. Or you can download the NBC Sports Radio app for on-the-go sports coverage and take us wherever you go. NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We've been doing off-season to-do lists throughout the past few weeks as we work our way from the top of the draft down to pick number 32 with free recommendations on what every team should do to improve its status for 2015. And as all things that cost nothing, every team destined to get its money's worth. Let's start today's off-season to-do list by looking at the Baltimore Ravens. Job number one, find a way to keep Haloti Ngata. And this shouldn't be that difficult. We hear about a $16 million cap figure for Haloti Ngata. Well, $8.5 million is going to count. No, $7.5 million is going to count against the cap, whether he's on the team or not. The question is, what do you do with the other $8.5 million? And if they want to keep him, very easy, relatively speaking, to take that $8.5 million, convert it into a signing bonus, extend his contract, even give him a little bit more than what he's due to make this year if you want to keep him around. And why wouldn't you want to keep him around? He's one of those guys where if he's on the market, he's going to get gobbled up, especially when we consider that Ndamukong Suh is going to push the bar to new levels next week. That Haloti Ngata contract may look like a bargain. So if the Ravens could take that and turn it into a long-term deal before Ndamukong Suh signs a long-term contract, before Justin Houston signs a long-term contract, before other free agent defenders in the front seven sign big money free agent contracts, Ravens may be very glad that they made the investment at the time they did. Next, speaking of investments that could or could not be made in free agency, Justin Forsett, great season last year, 1,200-plus rushing yards as a one-year veteran minimum benefit contract, which actually ends up chewing up less cap space than a veteran minimum deal. Let him test the market. Nice guy, very productive, but let him test the market and see what's out there or what's not out there. And if that means risking losing him to the Broncos, where new head coach Gary Kubiak could try to lure Forsett, because it was Kubiak, as Forsett told us during the football season, who was instrumental in getting Forsett to Baltimore, take that risk, because you can find someone else out there if you're talking about a contract that doesn't reflect the current running back veteran market. Forsett did a great job. Forsett entered camp at least third on the depth chart. Chances are, with a new offensive coordinator and the money that Forsett would want, you could get multiple running backs who could come in and potentially do what Forsett did last year, especially if you take them in combination, which is what more and more teams are doing. Instead of one guy who rushes for 1,300 yards, you get two guys who rush for 650. It keeps it cheaper that way. Also cheaper to let Torrey Smith walk away. Not test the market. Let him walk away. Let someone else overpay him. Torrey Smith, nice guy, been on this program multiple times. 757 yards in a contract year. That's not the way to get big money. That's not the way to justify a major payday, especially with so many other veteran free agents on the market through unrestricted free agency or through being cut by their current contracts, and considering so many rookies made a huge impact right away in 2014 and are expected to do it now. Somebody's going to overpay Torrey Smith. The Ravens should not be the team to do it. Next, time to get a backup quarterback. Even though Joe Flacco is a guy who has been very durable, doesn't miss much, if any, time. You still need to have somebody you're developing, somebody quietly behind the scenes, because you're getting closer and closer to the point with Joe Flacco's contract where some heavy lifting is going to be necessary. The Ravens said last week, we'll worry about it next year. Well, if you're ever going to try to squeeze Flacco, you better have a backup at a minimum as leverage. And right now, it's not looking good for the Ravens behind Joe Flacco. Next, get some young pass rushers. Look, Pernell McPhee is going to hit free agency. Terrell Suggs doesn't have a whole lot of time left. Elvis Dumervil getting a little longer in the tooth. They need young pass rushers, preferably through the draft, that they can groom to become the Terrell Suggs and Pernell McPhee and Elvis Dumervil of the future. All right, the Ravens currently have Steve Smith. He used to be for the Panthers. That's the best segue I can come up with to take this now to the Panthers and what they need to do this offseason after winning an unexpected second straight NFC South Division Championship, despite not being 500 for the season. First, let's extend Cam Newton's contract. Let's get this over with. Let's not get into a situation next year where the franchise tag is being used on Cam Newton and he's leveraging it into some $20 million a year deal. He deserves to be compensated now. He played through injury last year. He played at a high level last year. Get it worked out. And I know that Cam wants to wait and see what happens with Russell Wilson. Convince Cam's agent, Buzz Cook, that Russell Wilson is going to do a completely different deal. It's apples and oranges. Get the deal done. Reward Cam Newton for what he's accomplished in his four seasons in Carolina. Secondly, go younger at running back. They've already started that process by getting rid of D'Angelo Williams, and I know Jonathan Stewart still perceived to have some tread on the tires, but get some young mid-round guys in there into the mix if you want to use two or three guys and try to develop your next Jonathan Stewart, somebody who consistently can get it done as a complement to Cam Newton and what he can do with his legs and with his arm. Next, look, something they didn't do last year. Get some receivers. Yes, Kelvin Benjamin, great job as a rookie. Get some guys around him. However you do it, there's going to be bargains out there. In free agency, there's going to be guys in the draft who can come in and get it done, but you need compliments for Greg Olsen and Kelvin Benjamin, both of whom, if you're watching this at PFT, had exactly 1,008 receiving yards last year. Next, it's time to get a left tackle. There's been plenty of talk about what they may or may not do in that regard. Either way, get a left tackle. It didn't work last year. Now, over time, the unit got better. You want to be better earlier in the season, and the Panthers weren't. One of the reasons why it took them so long to find the gas pedal. And finally, you know, a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this. I think they need to find a way to keep Greg Hardy. That doesn't mean pay him a bunch of money, because they paid him $13.1 million last year and only got one game out of him. They need to find a way to keep him around at a reasonable price. And you let him hit the market and see what else is out there. And with his status still unresolved, he's probably not going to get a big contract anywhere else. Maybe there's a way to do a reasonable deal to keep him in Carolina, maybe on a short-term contract. That defense was so much better. The defensive tackles were so much better with Greg Hardy there. That wasn't a fluke. That wasn't a coincidence. When you've got two great bookend pass rushers in Greg Hardy and Charles Johnson, your defensive tackles necessarily are going to perform at a high level. Find a way to keep Greg Hardy around, but don't act like you want to. Don't be desperate. Take your time, let it play out, and maybe there's a way to keep Greg Hardy. Maybe there's a way to get some return in 2015 for all the money that was given to Greg Hardy last year to not play. And it really wasn't on him. Yes, he did something off the field that he shouldn't have done, allegedly, actually, or whatever. Other circumstances forced the Panthers' hands. Maybe there's a way to keep him around. We'll be sticking around for the rest of the next 2.5 hours. And when we return, Mike Kliss of the Denver Post will give us an update on the Denver Broncos. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
This is Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio. Listen 24/7 online or with the app. NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com. Because every day is game day.
Welcome back to PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. This Monday, March 2nd, it's tag day in the NFL, and one team that apparently will be using the tag, already has used the tag. The Denver Broncos applying it to receiver Demaryius Thomas, which has plenty of other consequences and ramifications. And joining us now to help us understand some of those, Mike Kliss of the Denver Post. Mike, I guess this means Julius Thomas is going to hit the market. Does it mean he's going to leave Denver?
Looks that way. You know, it always was going to be Demaryius Thomas was the tag guy. And Julius Thomas, they were trying to work out a deal. They have not talked since August 28th. You know, at that time, it was a five-year, $40 million extension. And Frank Bauer, Julius's agent, didn't like the structure of it. The way Frank saw it, it was basically a one-year deal. They cut it off. Julius got off to a great start, as you know, the first nine games of the season. Then had the ankle injury, and I don't think they've done much revisiting since then. So it does appear he will hit the market, and the Broncos, but I think the Broncos think, you know, a couple teams are going to get in a bidding war for Julius Thomas, and he will be gone.
He's Mike Close of the Denver Post. We've seen some scattered discussion and comments and speculation that Peyton Manning, the team's quarterback, won't be thrilled with the prospect of Julius Thomas leaving. Do we know whether Peyton will be upset and whether he's doing anything behind the scenes to try to get the Broncos to keep him?
No, I don't think that is true. He helped Brandon Stokely get on the team in 2012. Other than that, he is aware that people think he runs the team, and he tries hard not to get meddle into GM type decisions. And John Elway is a strong enough guy. He doesn't necessarily ask Peyton for help. No, I think Peyton will go forward. Julius is separate from his own decision that he has to make.
What do we know about Peyton's decision as of right now? I know Woody Page yesterday suggested it's a done deal. It's just a question of when it gets announced. Do we know that it is close to being done by way of a restructuring? And do we know what may happen as it relates to Peyton Manning's contract for 2015?
Well, it's, all signs point to it getting done this week. He has to take his physical according to the contract, his physical has to be taken by Thursday, which is March 5th, 5 days before the league year. And then March 9th is another deadline where that $19 million becomes fully guaranteed if he's on the roster on that date, March 9th, the day before the league year opens. So I think everything will I think it'll get resolved by tomorrow. I'm sure it's a high priority today, finishing it up. And, he's got to get into the building this week to get this thing done. So I would think that they will really work to get it done today, and there might be something tomorrow or Wednesday.
He's Mike Close of the Denver Post. Any chance Peyton Manning ends up taking less than the full $19 million that he's due to make this year?
Yes, I do think. I think he'll make less one way or the other, restructure or pay cut. I'm not quite sure. I do think there might be a little bit of cut involved. They're working through that. It's not necessarily. I think a pay cut's on the table. I think a restructuring on the table. The last I heard, I'm not sure what exactly is on the table right now. You know, for the Broncos to make this work, there's not a whole lot of future years. I know you can have some, funny money and some phony years going forward, but realistically, there's not a whole lot of future years to get the restructuring done the way the Broncos would like for the cap relief. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a pay cut when this thing is finalized.
He's Mike Close of the Denver Post. I want to go back to Demaryius Thomas because 2 years ago, the Broncos used the franchise tag on left tackle Ryan Clady, worked out a long-term contract before the July 15 deadline. Do we know what will happen with Demaryius Thomas and a long-term deal now that the tag has been used?
Yeah, and they're I tell you, they. I think it's going to be tough, Mike, because for a couple reasons. One, there's such a big gap between Calvin Johnson and now the next best receiver, which is Percy Harvin, now that Larry Fitzgerald has redone his deal. It's between 16.2 and Calvin Johnson and 12.8, roughly, with Percy Harvin. That's a big gap between one and two. Demaryius Thomas is wanting to get a lot closer to Calvin Johnson. I think the Broncos want to put him a lot closer to Percy Harvin. So you have that gap there. I think Peyton Manning is a complicating factor here for Demaryius Thomas. Does he want to commit to a five-year deal with the Broncos, knowing Peyton Manning has 1 or 2 years left? I think it's going to be tough for these two guys to get together and agree on a long-term deal.
He's Mike Kliss of the Denver Post. Let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. Last year, a lot of money spent on guys like Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, DeMarcus Ware. Will the Broncos be doing something like that this year, or have they already made their biggest offseason acquisition by bringing back Wade Phillips?
They won a couple defensive linemen for the 3-4. I was talking to Wade Phillips a bit about it, and you know, when you move DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller back, Von Miller is a strong side linebacker in name, but he was often used down on the line of scrimmage, of course, to pass rush. That's what he's really about. But you know, they need that five technique type defensive end. They think they have a couple in Malik Jackson and Derek Wolf. If Potros leaves, Terrence Knighton, they'll need a nose tackle. Marvin Austin would be the guy they have now. Sylvester Williams is not quite a nose tackle for the 3-4, so they'll have to pick up one of those. Another five technique defensive end, and then Raheem Moore figures to get a pretty nice deal in a safety market where the demand is greater than the supply this year. The anticipation is Raheem Moore is going to get a lot of money on the free agent market, and so the Broncos will be shopping for a new free safety.
Over the next week, Mike, do we expect to hear any surprise names being released by the Broncos? Not that it'll be a surprise if we expect it.
Well, I think I think the guys that would have been releasable are guys that are free agents. And so, no, I don't think so. You know, Manny Ramirez, there's some talk that he doesn't fit the zone blocking system that Gary Kubiak and Rick Dennison are bringing in. But Manny Ramirez isn't making a whole lot of money in the final year of his deal. And so you might as well bring him in to compete. Right now, I'm not anticipating too many big names. They don't really have any big names on the restricted free agent, Tony Carter. They're all backups. Aaron Brewer, the long snapper. Steven Johnson, a backup middle linebacker. So, you know, I don't see any type of releases coming.
Mike, one last question for you. A guy who used to be a big name, receiver Wes Welker. He says he doesn't want to retire. There's been no talk about the Broncos bringing him back. Any chance he will be back in Denver?
I say the only chance is if Peyton Manning, and you talked about this earlier, Peyton Manning made a pitch for Brandon Stokely a couple of years ago. If Peyton Manning would make a similar pitch for Wes Welker, there's a chance, although Manning didn't really throw to Welker last year, so I'd be surprised if that happens. Manning got to where he kind of zeroed in on Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, and for good reason. But so I think Wes Welker will be out there on the free agent market. It will be interesting to see what type of deal he gets and from whom.
Mike, great stuff as always, buddy. We'll check out your work at the Denver Post website, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Excellent stuff there from Mike Kliss. We went around the horn with the Denver Broncos on offense, on defense, and they're going to be making some news soon. They've already made some news today by the application of the franchise tag to Demaryius Thomas. Now, when we return, we won't necessarily make news, depending upon what I say, but we will answer questions. Pick up your cell phone device and dial these numbers in this order, not in any order you feel like. It has to be in this order or it won't work. Alexander Graham Bell taught us that a long time ago. 855-323-4NBC. We'll be back with more PFT Live after this.
Connect with NBC Sports Radio with the O'Reilly Auto Parts Inbox.
Email your questions to ask the pros at NBCSportsRadio.com.
Because we are NBC Sports Radio.
Radio.
And our game never stops.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do floors that impress for less. The Home Depot has quality tile, carpet, laminate, hardwood, and vinyl flooring, all at guaranteed low prices. And don't worry about the installation. The Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by flooring professionals who will get the job done right. Visit homedepot.com/flooring for details. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. It's time to answer your questions here on PFT Live. And let's go straight to at WTR115 wants to know via the Twitter, will the Eagles tag Jeremy Maclin? I would be surprised if they tag Jeremy Maclin. The official numbers are out. It is well over $10 million to keep a receiver around for one more year. And the problem is, last year the Eagles tried to keep Jeremy Maclin around on a long-term contract. He wanted to do a one-year deal coming off of a torn ACL. He wanted to gamble on himself. He gambled and he won. It's going to cost a lot more now to keep Maclin than it would cost a year ago. And Coach Chip Kelly justified getting rid of DeSean Jackson a year ago by saying, well, I don't like smaller receivers. Well, Jeremy Maclin isn't exactly 6'5". So do you make a long-term investment in a receiver who doesn't have the body type that is preferable for the Chip Kelly offense? Does Chip Kelly have the confidence to say, you know what, I can get more production out of a bigger guy than I'll get through the draft, through free agency, through trade, whatever? So I don't think it's going to be the franchise tag. The question is, can the Eagles find out a way to keep Maclin around when the open market is out there competing with Philly for his services? And I ultimately don't think they'll be able to do it. Next, let's go to the phone lines. Rob in Connecticut, you're on PFT Live. What's up, Rob?
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, what do you think the Jaguars are going to do with the most money in the offseason?
Well, I appreciate the call. You know, this is a team that's been very patiently and adamantly building through the draft and not making big splashes in free agency. Recently, there's been some indication, though, that maybe they're going to try to go next level, that maybe they're going to try to transform the franchise. And I've talked recently about how the impact of a guy like Ndamukong Suh could change so many things about the Jaguars. 20-plus years ago, Reggie White transformed the perception of the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, they'd won a couple of Super Bowls back in the 60s. But they hadn't done much since then. The Jaguars haven't done much since 1999. When they made it to the AFC Championship game, a game they led against the Tennessee Titans at halftime. And Ndamukong Suh is the kind of guy that turns the page for a franchise that hasn't been very relevant. And when you think about how loyal the fans in Jacksonville have been to a team that has not been very good the last few years, I mean, they're just happy the team's not moving. Make them really happy. Reward them for the support they've had. You want to make a big splash into the free agency pool, go after Ndamukong Suh, put an offer out there that no one else will match. And remember, last year the Jaguars tried to lure center Alex Mack away from Cleveland. So they're willing to spend on veteran free agents, and maybe Sue would be the way to get it done. But thank you for the phone call. Let's go back to Twitter, and our good friend A Red Zone Alk wants to know, as the salary cap figure and wages rise year by year, are we seeing a time where players welcome being tagged? Look, here's my position on the franchise tag. Unless the team is willing to give the guy a long-term contract that fully guarantees, at a minimum, what the player will make under the franchise tag for the next 2 years, that's a big payment this year plus a 20% raise for next year. Unless they're willing to fully guarantee it, if I'm the player, I'm going to sign the tender, I'm going to go out and get a disability policy, and I'm going to say, let's do it again next year when you have to give me a 20% raise. Because they're only going to do it two times. By the third time, you are into either quarterback money or a 44% raise on your second franchise tag, which becomes obscene for anybody except kickers. And for kickers and punters, you end up with quarterback money. So either way, we're never going to see it. I don't want to say never because then it'll happen. It would be a shock. It would be illogical. It would be highly unlikely if any team ever uses the franchise tag a third straight year. So unless you're going to get 2 years of tag money now, go year to year. So the tag's a good thing. Long-term contract with long-term security, even better. Alex from Dallas, you're on PFT Live. What's up, Alex?
How are you? Who do you think will be the Cowboys running back at the beginning of the year?
Well, thank you for the call, and that's the $64,000-plus question at this point. DeMarco Murray is going to test the market. Now, that means DeMarco Murray may end up looking what's out there during the three-day legal tampering period and then deciding to take whatever the Cowboys will pay if it's as much or more than what someone on the market will pay. We've never seen the NFL's leading rusher hit the open market the year after he became the NFL's leading rusher. But the market for running backs has changed dramatically. So it could be DeMarco Murray. It could be Adrian Peterson. It could be LeSean McCoy if he ends up getting cut by the Eagles and the Cowboys end up waiting too long on Murray and not getting Adrian Peterson from Minnesota. A lot of different ways it can go. But here's the key. With Tony Romo in place, Dez Bryant under contract for one more year, and a great offensive line, there's going to be a magnet effect in Dallas where a good running back is going to want to come there. And maybe a guy that we didn't think was a good running back ends up becoming a great running back. Who thought DeMarco Murray would become DeMarco Murray? So it's going to be an interesting issue. I don't know at this point, but it's going to be somebody, and he's going to be good because the offensive line there is very good. Okay, we got a lot more to do over the next couple hours. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your tweets. We'll maybe answer a few more as the show progresses. We've got Qadri Ismail, Tom Curran coming up the next hour, Todd Harriman's free agent tackle, hour number three. It's tag day in the NFL. Franchise tags being applied, franchise tags not being applied. A lot to talk about. We'll continue the conversation when we return. PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pro Football Talk Live with Mike Florio on NBC Sports Radio. All sports, all the time, 24-7. Because every day is game day. This is NBC Sports Radio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio reminds you that if you're a golf fan, along with a football fan, you can log on to the Masters official website, masters.com, April 6th through the 12th for complete tournament coverage. You get real-time scoring and live full-screen HD video all week long. Masters.com, your online source for the 2015 Masters. The master of the New England Patriots, that's the best I can come up with, is Bill Belichick. A guy who asks Bill Belichick questions from time to time and angers him from time to time and amuses him from time to time is our good friend Tom Curran of CSN New England. Tommy, it's been a while. I thought you forgot about us.
I thought you forgot about me. I'm sitting here every day, 12 to 3. When's Mike calling? When's Mike calling? Finally. Finally.
Actually, I had forgotten about you. But I remembered you today because I saw the report from someone other than you, because you got scooped, that the Patriots are thinking about tagging kicker Steven Gostkowski instead of safety Devin McCourty. What do we know right now about it? 2.5 hours away from the closing of the franchise tag window, what they're going to do?
I know that one of my friends, Mike Reese, had that, but I'm going to say I can't necessarily call it a scoop when someone says something might happen. But I think if you look at the two situations with Gostkowski, you have a guy who I just finished writing this would take up with that franchise tag on a $149 million salary cap, just about 0.27 of that cap. Actually, 0.027, just 2% of the cap. So if they're not able to get anything done with Devin McCourty and they want to take their chances on either getting him restructured long-term between now and next week before he hits free agency, then I would say Gostkowski's the way to go. Gostkowski would certainly be the easier one to do. To me, I feel as if McCourty would make more sense, but McCourty I've come to know over the last couple of days, it's all quiet on the McCourty front. No real negotiations, no heads up as to whether or not he will be franchised. It is status quo. The Patriots basically, Mike, are slow playing the entire operation, and that includes the negotiations with number 24, Darrelle Revis.
Does not tagging Devin McCourty tell us anything about what the Patriots may do or may not do with Darrelle Revis?
No, not necessarily. I think what it does is says there's still some uncertainty there with Darrelle Revis. Because look at it this way, and a lot of this is dot connecting, and I'm sure you find this interesting because you work more on the national scale than me, but Darrelle Revis has traditionally been very open and his representatives have been very open about what's going on with his negotiations, so everybody has an idea of the landscape. It's very hard to get any morsels from Revis right now. It's exceedingly hard to get anything on McCourty, and that's because the Patriots have not put anything out there in terms of really doing much. But when you look at the two situations together, as you pointed out, Revis is not going to play for the $20 million that the Patriots contracted him to. That's just funny money and a placeholder. So that being the case, if by next Tuesday or Monday or the tampering period, the Patriots realize, look, the numbers are out of the stratosphere here since this tampering period has gone on, we're going to have to release you, well, then, boom, they have their money to redo McCourty really quickly. If they are able to redo Revis, drop him down to a $14 million cap hit, for instance, then their way is clear to redo McCourty and get him at less than 9.5 against the cap as well. So I think McCourty happens either way.
He's Tom Curran of CSN New England. You mentioned Darrell Revis. You mentioned the tampering period. The tampering period only applies to guys who are going to become free agents. Revis is still under contract.
Great point, Mike.
But that doesn't mean that tampering isn't going on, correct?
Well, it started in what? January? When, I mean, talk about egregious instances of compromising NFL integrity when you have a team owner and someone who should know better as a business magnate by birth or by earn, Woody Johnson sits up there and says, we would love to have Darrell Revis play for our football team and he's under contract to somebody else. That was just an announcement as to how much tampering will go on with that particular player, though somebody would be bold-faced enough to do that at a press conference. So I'm sure that there's an idea out there among Revis's representatives what the Bills are willing to do, what the Jets are willing to do, and what other teams who may be in the market for a corner would be willing to do in terms of guaranteed money, length of term, and everything else for Darrell Revis. Really, Mike, I think we can look at it and say he's going to be about a five-year, $80 million player with about $40 million guaranteed and about $15 million per season, however you slice it.
Do you know whether he would take less to stay in New England, or is he going to take the biggest offer wherever it comes from?
He told me in San Diego when the Patriots were out there, we talked at length about it, and he said it's not as important to him as it might be to Patrick Peterson or Joe Hayden or Richard Sherman to be at the top of the market because he's already been there. He said he understands why those guys are watching the nickels of everybody else because it was their first time around to get their second contract. Revis has cashed in. He said it wasn't as important, but you know, I think the Sean Gilbert tie, Mike, is important to remember because Sean Gilbert is Revis' uncle. He is a very steadfast supporter of players having to make sure they get every penny they can, which is to their it's their right to do that. It's their obligation in some instances. So I think Sean Gilbert will advise Darrell Revis. Maybe if he had been standing with us in San Diego at the University of San Diego, he might have said, Darrell, you're going to get exactly what you can command. Because I think that's really what Revis has been about. And I'm not criticizing that. Everyone does their business differently, but that's what he has been about.
He's Tom Curran, CSN New England here on PFT Live and NBC Sports Radio. And yeah, we criticize players for acting like business people, but when the owners act like business people, we just shrug and say, well, they're business people, they're doing business. But for some reason, the players don't get that same consideration. Tom Brady did some business a couple of years ago by quote-unquote taking less so that the Patriots would have more cap space. Will they be using any of it on another weapon or two for him to throw the football to?
I don't think so. I think that when you look at what the Patriots have been able to do with the construct of their offense, really, the Patriots offensively and defensively don't fit into the mold of what other teams do. So a guy who has value to them defensively in the secondary or at linebacker or on the defensive line may not have the same value someplace else. When you have Julian Edelman, who you can get at $4.5 million, and somebody else might look at him and say, what are we going to do with this guy? Then you have a player that you can get for less. You know, if they go out and get a field stretcher for $10 or $11 million a year, I hate to say, what are they going to do with them? But what are they going to do with them? I mean, you have to get 18 looks a game to Gronkowski and Edelman. It's a slot and tight end-based offense. And then you have complimentary looks of 10 probably throws. Otherwise, they're going to go to LaFell, Amendola, or the third down back, maybe even 15 throws. You're already at 33 looks downfield. I hate to say it, but you don't really need the quote-unquote weapon.
He's Tom Curran of CSN New England, but it would be nice to have a weapon and a couple of weapons who may or may not be available. One we know will be available. Some bridges were burned a couple of years ago. But what about a swap for Danny Amendola for Wes Welker? Amendola out, Wes Welker back in. Any chance of that happening?
I'd say it's slim. The reason being, I think Wes is a terrific player, and he'd probably be able to be managed here, and he wouldn't be put in as many bad situations as Peyton Manning was able to put Wes Welker in and, you know, really shorten his career because that's what Manning did with those throws over the middle leading him into contact. I'm going to wait here for you to retort.
Well, yeah, I thought you were going to take a shot at Peyton Manning earlier when you were talking about guys always grabbing as much money as they could because that's basically Peyton's extended middle name.
I waited. I think the West is really at the end, and Danny Amendola proved kind of at the end of the year that he can do more things. For a straight-out swap of the two players, I think the Patriots would take a hit, and the savings is minimal. I know that Danny Amendola is making $5.7 million against the cap, but again, to refer back to that basically $149 million salary cap, it sounds like a lot because we're used to it being a lot. But as the cap escalates so quickly, you know, $23 million in 2 years, we have to start to reconfigure the way we look at what is and is not a lot against the cap. You know, I think that Amendola, Mayo, and Wilfork are candidates to either be asked to take a haircut specifically or a restructuring or a new style. But I don't think that Welker would end up back here.
Tommy, I got to run, but great stuff as always. I'll try not to forget about you for the next month. Please be waiting 12 to 3 Eastern time every day for the string on the can to pull taut so we can have a
Revis
conversation.
We got the Revis thing coming next week. He'll be all over me with, what happened with Darrell Revis?
All right, we'll see you, buddy.
Bye.
And next up, we'll continue the conversation. Staying in the same conference, sliding down or over. Down. It's down, right? From Foxborough to Baltimore. Qadri Ismail joins PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Connect with NBC Sports Radio with the O'Reilly Auto Parts Inbox.
Email your questions to ask the pros at NBCSportsRadio.com.
Because we are NBC Sports Radio.
Radio.
And our game never stops.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is built by the Home Depot. Let's do floors that impress for less. The Home Depot has quality tile, carpet, laminate, hardwood, and vinyl flooring, all at guaranteed low prices. And don't worry about the installation. The Home Depot also offers start-to-finish installation by flooring professionals who will get the job done right. Visit homedepot.com/flooring for details. More saving, more doing. It's a pair of the Home Depot. Baltimore Ravens have been to the playoffs every year since John Harbaugh was hired, except one, and they've won a Super Bowl. And they've won, I think, 28 road playoff games, although I may be a little high in my estimation. Either way, guy who played for a Super Bowl-winning team in Baltimore, along with other NFL teams, a second-round pick way back in 1993 of the Minnesota Vikings, and now a member of the Ravens Radio Network, Qadri Ismail joins the program. Qadri Ismail, known as the Missile. You were the Missile. Your brother was the Rocket. Who's faster right now?
Oh, boy. I'd say right this second, I was down there in Dallas for actually a speed summit seminar, and we did some active walking. So when you're in your plus 40s, you don't necessarily sprint. You do active walking. And that dude just straight up walked and kept on walking, and I was like, mother of pearl, I can't catch him. So I'd have to give him the nod.
So that's the news now out of this interview. The Ismail brothers are now competitive race walkers.
That's what it is. It's all about the hips. You got to keep the heel and the toes striking on the ground at the same time so you don't get disqualified.
Oh, he's Qadri Ismail here on PFT Live. Okay, Baltimore Ravens have a fast receiver in Torrey Smith. He's due to become a free agent. He had under 800 receiving yards last year. The market is changing at the receiver position. What should they do with him?
Boy, it's all about the number. I think they like him. I think that he likes being here as a Raven, but it's about whether or not, you know, he, meaning Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, and Ozzy can come up with the right figure. If he tries to, you know, go out there and break the bank and try to get like a Mike Wallace type of a deal, then, you know, they're going to wave him goodbye. But I think if he can, you know, feel good about maybe around that $5 to $6 million range, and depending upon how the guarantees are structured, then maybe they can have that conversation. But that's where they are at, and it's now up to Torrey, I think, as the structure of the deal comes about. You know, is he going to be satisfied with that, or is he going to feel like, hey, let me go out in the open market and see what I can get?
Another key player on the offensive side of the ball, running back Justin Forsett, 1,266 yards last year. Very pleasant surprise. How surprised will you be if he ends up heading somewhere else for 2015?
I'm going to be very surprised. I think the fact that he found a place here, he found a home. It's one thing to go to another place. It's another thing to be wanted. And I believe the way John Harbaugh, the way Ozzie Newsome, both have publicly come out and said they want him back. You know, it's a value to be wanted, especially as a running back, especially at his age. And it would be very shocking to me to see him in another uniform.
He's Qadri Ismail, Ravens Radio Network, here on PFT Live. Haloti Ngata's in the final year of his contract. There's talk about him being squeezed to take less, or at least reducing his cap number. What do you think happens there? Could they actually get rid of Haloti Ngata?
Boy, that's a tough one, because he's one of those guys where, you know, Steve Bisciotti likes to have his franchise type players, and you know, he's one of those guys. He's going to be a first, you know, ballot Ring of Honor guy, and so to just, you know, let him go would, in his estimation, be kind of a bad thing. So again, it's about your ego, whether or not, you know, you can work a deal. I think it's a situation where you almost kind of do a Larry Fitzgerald, just, you know, move the figure around, put him in guaranteed money so you can lower your cap number and continue to play as a Raven and hopefully retire as a Raven.
Kadri, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate you taking some time, and we will give you a buzz down the road as the Ravens continue to make news, as they inevitably will. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
There he is, Kadri Ismail, Ravens radio analyst. Kadri and Rocket. What would you do if you're in Dallas and you just happen to notice the Ismail brothers race walking? Heel to toe, heel to toe, heel to toe. You know, it's fun. You can move pretty fast. It looks goofy, but boy, you can move pretty fast race walking. And it's a lot less wear and tear on the knees, hips, and ankles. Not that
I didn't know that it was a rule.
What? No, that's how you walk. That's walking. There has to be 1 foot in contact with the ground at all times. That's race walking.
Q said, once you get over 40, you don't run, you race walk. So I didn't know that. I only have 10 more years of running left.
Well, no, I think Willie Gault would disagree with that. I think he's still pretty fast. And I still run every once in a while, but when I do, my kneecaps swell up roughly to the size of a Blue Ribbon County Fair grapefruit. Maybe cantaloupe. Not County Fair cantaloupe.
Do you remember the last time you ran?
What's the biggest gourd you've ever seen? Oh, I ran up my hill last week. I have a hill outside my house that was completely ice, and we had to scrape it with shovels because it was complete ice because the snow fell, and then it got warm, and then it froze, and it was ice. And I don't know why I ran up the hill. I don't know if I was just feeling spry or if I was in some sort of a hurry that caused me to run up the hill. I just wanted to prove that I could still run, but I ran up the hill.
Wow, good work by you. You're like,
and then when
Rice.
I got to the top, I vomited. But other than that, it was a good.
And it,
it
slid all the way
seconds.
Back down the hill, right?
And froze. And it froze. It's one thing to scrape frozen precipitation off the pavement. It's quite another to scrape frozen hamburger helper off the pavement. And on that happy note, let's wrap up hour number two of the program. We'll be back with more. Todd Harriman's joins us in about a half hour. Before that, NFL Coast to Coast. We'll do that next on PFT Live.
When the game is on the line, we just deliver over and over again. Download the NBC Sports Radio app for on-the-go sports coverage or visit us on the web at NBCSportsRadio.com 24-7. Because every day is game day. This is NBC Sports Radio. Sports Radio.
Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, highly trained, friendly, and knowledgeable parts professionals are there for you, whether you're an everyday driver or a car parts professional. Their parts professionals will help you find the parts you need to get the job done right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Off-season to-do list today, Ravens, Panthers. We've talked Ravens with Kadri Ismail, who played for the Ravens. Next, we'll talk Panthers with a guy who didn't play for the Panthers. Darren Gann. He covered them, though, for 14 years with the Rock Hill Herald. He now works for me at ProFootballTalk.com. What's up, Darren?
I almost got a chance to play quarterback in 2010. Not many people know this, but after Jimmy Clausen got hurt, I was actually the next man up after Brian St. Pierre.
See, I figured you'd have been the next guy after Vinny Testaverde the year they pried him off the couch. What was he, 48 at the time?
Yeah, I think he was 47 at the time. He was certainly old. It was an amazing series of events, to be sure.
Well, an amazing series of events last year caused Greg Hardy not to play at all beyond week one. He's now reportedly not going to be in the team's plans under any sort of circumstances. I mean, is this a done deal? They're not going to make any effort to try to bring him back. I think maybe they wait and see if there's a market for him, and if nobody else wants him, why not try to bring him back under a short-term deal?
I think at a certain level, Mike, Greg has reached the point of more trouble than he's worth to the Carolina Panthers. And, I mean, it's not just the – You know, it's not just the $13.1 million they paid for one game last year. It's just, you know, with Greg, there's just this pattern of odd decision-making, and he does weird things at weird times. And I think, you know, you could kind of see the writing on the wall in this one when Gettleman was talking at the Combine the other week, and he used the phrase ticking time bomb when he was talking about, you know, he was more talking about evaluating guys' character in the draft, but you could sort of see the message in there that that was just too big a hole to have blown in their cap last year. And, you know, I think now, you know, there's a pretty good chance he's going to have a market. I think the Adrian Peterson ruling probably helps Greg at a certain level because, you know, a lot of people were scared off just in talking at the Combine thinking he was going to be 6-8 games out next year. And, you know, we don't know yet what the punishment's going to be from the NFL, but, you know, that has to help him, and I think that's going to help his market too and probably put him right out of their price range.
Yeah, and I think at worst for Greg Hardy, we are looking at a 2-game suspension based on the prior personal conduct policy. That's the one big takeaway from the Adrian Peterson ruling last week. You can't apply the new personal conduct policy retroactively. That means the old policy applies. That means at most, I think, Greg Hardy's looking at a 2-game suspension. The question is, when will we know what is going on there? When will we know if D'Angelo Williams is actually cut by the Panthers? He said he's been cut. They haven't cut him. I assume they're going to. When are they going to do it?
Yeah, I think they're going to. That's another odd situation where there's stuff kind of bubbling along under the surface. D'Angelo actually had some surgery on foot, ankle, tail end of the year, and he was at the stadium rehabbing. And, you know, it kind of told him, you know, hey, take your time. We'll rehab it here. We'll look after you, that kind of thing. But that was part of the same conversation when they said, we're not going to need you next year. And then D'Angelo sort of went out on his own last week and made his own news. So it's curious. I think certainly, you know, he's going to be gone. You know, I would assume they're going to use the June 1st designation on him just to chop that cap hit up a little bit. But they're also in a spot now where they're finally able to, if they didn't want to do it that way, they could cut him now and be done with it. But I think he sort of, you know, there were some hard feelings there with the way he handled that thing on the way out the door. And I think now they're not, you know, I think it would be human nature to not be inclined to do him a favor right now.
He's Darren Gant of ProFootballTalk.com, previously covered the Panthers 14 years with the Rock Hill Herald. I'm getting short on time, but Cam Newton, contract this offseason or after he completes all 5 years of his rookie deal?
I think you've got to do it now. I mean, it's not getting any cheaper. With Luck and Wilson on the horizon, that thing's just going to keep going up and up and up, whether, you know, he plays to their level or you think he's to their level or not. I mean, just time and inflation is going to drive that one that way. And so I think it's in their best interest to get this thing done as soon as they can so they know what they're building with.
All right, great stuff, buddy. It's franchise tag day. Get back to work.
You
I got another
it.
Half hour. I'll grab an oar, or at least I'll be presiding over all the guys who have the oars, one way or the other. Thanks, man.
See you, man.
There he is, Darren Gant, ProFootballTalk.com. This Ndamukong Suh contract, I think it's going to impact the market at other positions. You know, if Ndamukong Suh gets a gigantic deal, then if I'm representing Cam Newton, I'm trying to find a way to have that bleed over to the quarterback position. My argument is that the marquee players in the NFL all are worth more than what they previously were believed to be worth. Now, the difference is you got to get to the open market to get a contract of that magnitude. But, you know, Cam Newton's in a position where he plays out this rookie contract. They have to franchise tag him next year, and that number keeps going up and up. What are they going to do? And I know that at a certain level, he'd like to wait for Russell Wilson to go first. I think Russell Wilson's deal is going to be structured differently. There's talk of a fully guaranteed contract, which would result in less money. But when you consider that Buss Cook used to represent Russell Wilson, still represents Cam Newton, there is going to be some agent games going on behind the scenes where Cam Newton and Buss Cook are going to want Russell Wilson and Mark Rogers to go first. Wilson and Rogers are going to want them to go first, and maybe we end up just waiting. We won't have to wait very long when we return. Todd Harriman's free agent offensive lineman is going to join the program. We'll be back with more PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio.
You can rest easy. It's back to Pro Football Talk Live on NBC Sports Radio and NBCSportsRadio.com, where every day is game day.
Free agency starts in 8 days. Some guys have gotten a head start in part because their current teams have decided to part ways with them. And the only good news in any of that is the opportunity to get a head start on the open market. One such guy, longtime Eagles offensive lineman Todd Harriman's 10 years with the team after becoming a fourth-round pick back in 2005. And he now joins us here on PFT Live. Todd, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you, Mike?
Good, man. Hey, thanks for some of your time. And sorry about what happened with the Eagles. But do players see that silver lining there, that it does give them a chance to go out and get ahead of the curve and try to find another job elsewhere?
Yeah, I think after the smoke clears and you kind of come to grips with what's really happening, you know, you kind of see that, you know, they're doing us a favor and able to get us out there a little earlier before free agency. And like you said, just try to get ahead of the curve with everything going on.
How big of a surprise was it for you when you got the word that the Eagles were going to move on?
Well, I mean, I know that, you know, these were the last 2 years of my career, and I was making, I think, $4 and $5 million each year. So I knew that, you know, it was a possibility. Even when I signed the deal, I thought, I don't know if I'll make it to those years, but, you know, it'll be nice. But just with everything, how everything went, you know, with last season and being on IR and my conversations and everything, you know, everything seemed to me like it was heading in the right direction, and we were just getting ready for the upcoming season. So I was pretty shocked. I was pretty shocked when I got the news.
He's free agent offensive lineman Todd Harriman's here on PFT Live, just finished a 10-year run with the Philadelphia Eagles. We know from seeing Hard Knocks over the years and hearing all the stories about the Turk and Bring Your Playbook, about how a guy is released during football season. How did you find out about this? Who let you know?
Well, Chip called me and let me know. I actually was supposed to be going into the building to work out, and they wanted to get a final physical on me. So they were asking me to come in and take a physical, and I kind of, you know, thought that was a little fishy and something was up. So we were a little poking around, and before I knew it, Chip was calling me to let me know that they were going to release me, and you know, we're going to move on from there.
He's Todd Harriman's free agent offensive lineman. You mentioned passing a physical. How are you doing health-wise? Do you think there'll be any question about passing a physical with a new team?
Not at all. I'm 100% ready to go. My arm feels just as strong as it did. And like the rest of my body, I feel great. You know, one thing they do in Philadelphia is they take care of your body pretty well. So I feel awesome.
What was the biggest difference between Chip Kelly and Andy Reid as a head coach?
Whew. I think probably just the way that they carry themselves. You know, Andy's pretty stoic, quiet, you know, doesn't really talk a whole lot to the guys. And I would say Chip's a little more laid back, very, you know, vocal with his players, likes to see what guys are thinking, you know, how they're feeling, loves all the feedback that you can give them. So I'd say that's probably the biggest difference.
And one of the things we do in this business, we connect dots, and the fact that Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles when you were drafted and his offensive line could use an upgrade, we look and say, hey, the Chiefs should come calling. Is that a logical connection to make?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's quite a few coaches that have kind of spread out, formed a web around the NFL since I've been here. You know, I've seen a lot of people come and go, and, you know, right now I hired my agent, Jeff Nally, for this reason. You know, I've never been in this situation before. I've never been a free agent. So this is all new to me, and he's just handling the brunt of all the work. And when it comes down to it, we're just going to find a place that's, you know, good for my family and I and makes sense because, you know, I feel like I've still got good football left to play.
He's free agent offensive lineman Todd Harriman. Any visits lined up yet?
No visits lined up yet. We do have several teams calling, you know, saying that they're interested. I think that right now, I think that the way that everybody's kind of treating it is just treating it like I'm basically in the free agent class, you know. So I think everything will get going after the owners' meeting is over, and then things will ramp up a little bit. But right now, we have several teams interested, so it's a good start.
Chip Kelly kind of does his own thing in Philadelphia, for better or worse. Last year when he parted ways with DeSean Jackson, what kind of shockwaves did that send through the roster?
Well, I mean, I think everybody that he had on roster, it basically sent the message, like, you need to buy into my program or you're going to be out of here. And so I think that once he did that, of course, there were some people that were like, what are we cutting DeSean for? You know, he's one of the best receivers in the league. You know, he's an explosive player. Why would we let somebody like that go? Obviously, you're going to have some of those feelings, especially from guys that, I think, I played with DeSean for 6 years. And I didn't want to see him go. But you see a lot of people come and go in those years, and you can't get hung up on why did this happen or why did that happen. So I think everybody got over it pretty quickly. And then just, resumed work as usual.
He's Todd Harriman's free agent offensive lineman. What's the main factor in your search for a new team? Number one on the list.
Number one on the list? Oh, man. Well, I really like to go to a contender. The one thing that I regret in my 10 years in Philadelphia was not being able to bring a Super Bowl to this city. And for myself, I would like to go to a contender and win a Super Bowl before I'm able to retire. That's something that's very important to me. The finances have to be in line with what's going to be worth it for my family and I to move to another city. So there's a couple of different things factoring in.
Contender higher than finances, or it just is a sliding scale depending upon what the offers are?
I would say it's probably a sliding scale, but I don't really, I've played 10 years now, and I think I've been on 5 or 6 playoff teams, and I don't really want to go anywhere and not make the playoffs. That doesn't really look like something I want to do in the next couple of years.
He's free agent offensive lineman Todd Harriman's last minute or two here on PFT Live on NBC Sports Radio. The quarterback position in Philadelphia has been unique in recent years, different guys, different skill sets. From your perspective as an offensive lineman, you rather block for a pocket passer or a guy who moves around and makes one read and then runs?
Well, when you get beat by your guy, you want to block for those guys that run all over the place and they can make you look real good. Those guys can also, if you feel like you got your guy, handled and you got him locked down pretty well, the next thing you know is they come running by you and they reach their arm out and tackle him. So, I mean, both of them have like a positive and a negative to it. I think that my skill set, I don't know. I think that I can block for either. Like I told everybody, I've never really changed up my blocking technique depending on who was behind me. You're supposed to block the guy regardless. So, I don't know. Pocket passer, I guess. My best years was probably when we had a pocket passer. So we'll see.
He's Todd Harriman's free agent offensive lineman here on PFT Live. I looked at your bio, Saginaw Valley State. When did you realize while at Saginaw Valley State you actually had a shot to play in the NFL?
Oh, man. Probably my junior year. I had one of my coaches always gassing me up, like, oh, man, you can go play in the NFL. I've been there, you have what it takes. And I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, whatever. He's just trying to pump me up, so I'll work hard. And then I think my junior year, we had a couple of receivers that were really big, Ravel Martin and Glenn Martinez. And they had a bunch of teams coming out to practice and stuff. And one of the scouts asked my offensive coordinator if I was going to leave early. And I thought that question was just so, outlandish. Like, of course I'm not going to leave early. I'm a Division II player. Like, why would I leave after my second year? I've only been playing for 2 years. So I was just, at that point, I was like, well, maybe this could actually turn out to be a thing, So after that, I just kind of buckled down and worked a little harder.
Well, it all worked out. And congratulations on your success so far. We'll be paying attention to how things work out. And we hope you get your wish and get on a contender this year.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, buddy. Great talking to you. There he is, Todd Harriman's free agent offensive lineman. And, when I do these team-by-team offseason to-do lists, it seems like all the bad teams need help along the offensive line, and there aren't many competent offensive linemen available. So whatever the reason in Philadelphia, whatever prompted the Eagles to decide they could move on, there's a guy available who can come in and provide some leadership and has been on some contending teams and wants to play for a contending team. Doesn't want to play for a team that isn't going to be in the postseason mix.